Welcome to the ThinkComputer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 180. As always, this podcast is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and make your tech purchases there. It kicks a little bit of change back to us so that we can put on this podcast for you. We put our time and energy into this and our hosting, and we'd appreciate it if you guys could just help us out. It doesn't cost you nothing. It just takes a little bit away from Amazon and slides it our way. As always, with me today is Bob. What's up, Bob?
What's up, man? Back on our normal Tuesday recording schedule.
That's right.
It feels good to be back on Tuesday, man. I don't know.
It's good. It's good to do things.
The end of the week, I'm just tired and just done. You know.
Yeah, you're fresh off Make Money Monday.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. So. And it's Taco Tuesday, man.
That's right. Man, I could go for some fish tacos.
Oh, tacos sounds so good. I haven't had a good taco in a while, like a long while. Man.
Does Pittsburgh have good taco places?
We do. We have a few that are like really good. Like there's this one place called Edgar's Tacos, and this guy's like straight from Mexico. And he has this little stand. It's nothing big. You know, like usually the best places.
No, those are the best ones, man.
Yeah, are like the crappiest. And he has this little stand, and it is so, it tastes like unlike anything else. It's amazing. If you're ever in Pittsburgh, awesome. Look up Edgar's Tacos. It's usually voted best taco place in Pittsburgh year after year. And it's just like this little cart on the side of the road. It's awesome.
Nice. That's perfect.
Yeah. But let's just jump in. We have some Computex news to get to. Just a few things and some surprises with Computex. But we'll jump into our one review this week, which is the ADATA XPG SX6000 Pro. This is their M.2 NVMe solid state drive. And this drive, I would say this drive is perfect for people who don't want to drop a boatload on an M.2 SSD. You know, the higher end ones, they're not super like crazy expensive anymore, but you know, you can save $50 to $75 by going with, you know, just a cheaper drive, but you're still going to get good performance. And what I mean by good performance is this is obviously going to outperform a normal hard drive, but it's also going to outperform a 2.5 inch SATA based SSD. And it's, of course, it's not going to take up any space because it's connected to your motherboard. So you have that as well. So this drive from ADATA is based on the Realtek RTS5763DL controller. You actually don't hear Realtek all that often when it comes to NVMe
for storage.
For controllers. Usually it's Phison or who makes the other one? I forget. but it's usually, you know, one of two big players. So this Realtek one is a four-channel controller, and it does not have a dedicated DRAM chip. So this is DRAM-less. Typically, DRAM is used to store the table. So, you know, where is the data on the drive? That's all stored in a table, and it accesses the DRAM to access those tables to tell the drive where the information is stored on it. And like I said, a lot of SSD design uses a DRAM chip, but this one does not. But this controller uses what they call a host memory buffer, or HMB. Basically, it uses some of your own system memory. By default, it's 64 megabytes, which isn't a lot when you think about the amounts of RAM we're putting in our computers.
Yeah, like total RAM
16
have,
gigabyte by default. So using 64 megabytes of that 16 gigabyte, even if you have 8 gigabyte, it's still not a lot. So they do that instead. And that actually works quite well with this drive. So with a lot of SSDs, you're going to see a drop-off when you do sustained writes, like a complete drop-off. Like it will, whatever the rated speed is, say the rated speed's like 2,000 megabytes a second, you'll get that for maybe 30% of your write on the drive, and then it will drop considerably to like 300 to 400 megabytes a second. With this drive, it was pretty consistent throughout that test. It did vary
a
little bit.
Is that due to the table being stored on the in your memory, system memory, or is that
when that DRAM cache fills up, it has to flush, and when it flushes, it's just a slower process in the way that it's done a lot of times, but the DRAM cache does it does make a difference in overall performance. So with this drive, you're not going to get the faster reads and writes. Like this drive is...
So peak speeds are lower?
Yeah, peak speeds are lower. But for most people, I mean, this drive is rated at 2100 megabytes a second and 2100 megabytes a second read and 1500 megabytes a second write, which is still very fast for a lot of people. And the good thing about this drive is it's very affordable. We reviewed the 512 gigabyte version, which is $67.99.
It's like, it's not really free, but it's compared to what we've seen in the past, that feels free.
Yeah, it's just a great drive, and I think the performance is there. It performed right up to the specifications in almost all of our tests. It's a good overall drive. Just the peak speeds aren't there. And again, if you're coming, especially if you're coming from a traditional hard drive, but even if you're coming from an SSD where an SSD will max out around 500, 550 megabytes a second, going up to 2100 and 1500.
Factor of 3 and 4.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty significant, and it's definitely something you'll notice. Also, ADATA does back this drive with a 5-year warranty. So that's, you know, we talked about that a couple podcasts. Like 5 years is like usually the lifespan of a computer. So a lot of lower cost drives only come with a 3-year warranty. They back you up with a 5-year warranty here. Also, this does come with an integrated heatsink, or it's optional. You don't have to use it. And I actually like that you have to put it on the drive, just for the fact that so many, you know, motherboards come with these awesome M.2 heatsinks. And you don't, if you want to use that M.2 heatsink, you don't want to have to rip your heatsink off. It's just a mess sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
So this allows you to either use their heatsink or use the one that's on your motherboard, which I like too. So honestly, like, this is just a good drive. Like, it's a good value drive. It performs up to its specifications. The sustained write isn't horrible by any means. You know what I mean? It doesn't, like I said, like most drives you see will have that, sustained write really high, like at the peak speed for about 30% of the drive, and then just drop off. This is pretty sustained across the board, which is good.
I guess it probably depends on what your use case, like whether you would get the most performance out of it, whether you were doing long writes or whether you were just accessing it frequently.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But I think, like I said, for the price, it's kind of a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, I'm actually, if you go on Amazon, the terabyte version is only $110.
Yeah.
So it's even lower per gigabyte, and like I might have to get one of those for photo storage. That's just too cheap.
Yeah, it's so cheap, and like I said, the performance is there. It's not one of those drives, because we've seen a lot of low cost drives that come out around like 1,000 megabytes a second, but this kind of really bumps it up. 2100, 1500 is really good. It doesn't compare to, like, you know, you're maxing out PCI Express 3.0 X4. Which would be, you know, like 3,500 read and write.
Yeah.
So, but for the cost, I mean, throw this in as an OS drive or even a game drive, really.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, for photo storage or a scratch disk.
Yeah, writing to Lightroom or from Lightroom to this, it's perfect use.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a good drive. Like I said, I really like it. So check out that review. Highly recommended. Especially, like, again, you're gonna save $50 to $75. That goes into better memory. That goes into better everything. You know, a lot of stuff.
And I gotta say, people that like might look at this as like, oh, what is this no-name brand? It's not really a no-name brand. ADATA, I've been using their products for years. They're actually fantastic. They're a smaller brand.
Yeah, but you know what's? They're actually Taiwan's largest DRAM manufacturer, or largest memory, like, you know, SSD, NVMe. DDR4, like, they're the largest, I guess, manufacturer of that in Taiwan. So,
yeah, it's a solid company.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So definitely check out that review. And we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And this build that we're going to talk about, I think it's one of the best. I wouldn't call it, I guess it is themed, but it's like, it's one of the best showpieces for a brand. This is done by Alex Banks, who works for BitTech, and they did this build for G-Skill for their booth at Computex this year. And it's designed to look like the G-Skill Trident Z Royal RGB memory, completely custom chassis. Everything on this is custom. All of the acrylic work is custom made. It looks amazing. And they've actually have a, I think it's a 4 or 5 part series on YouTube going through the whole build process if you want to see it. We have the last video embedded in our article, but yeah, this build's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So it's if you can picture taking a couple of sticks of Trident Z Royal and like blowing them up by like 100 or so, and yeah, then using them as like the front corners of your case, and then you see you have like the RGB light and everything through the ends of it, like just like the memory does. It's pretty stellar looking build. It's definitely one of the best one offs that I've seen in a really long time. It accurately portrays like what it's advertising. It also doesn't like, it's not cheesy. It feels like a solid theme, and the water cooling work on it is pretty fantastic.
The acrylic work on it is so good. Yeah. And I love the channels on the back that show off the cable routing. That's one of my favorite things on so many builds. That's done pretty much perfectly. The water cooling's great. All of the custom channels and everything that are built into the acrylic look awesome. This is a really great job, and I've watched the YouTube, like their little series they did on it, and it shows all the custom work that actually really went into it. So, you know, we see these builds all the time, but a lot of times, like, people will show, you know, we do have build logs and stuff, but it's just kind of pictures, kind of showing what's going on, seeing, like, video and having somebody talking about what they're doing and what they're trying to achieve. I think that's really awesome. So definitely check this one out and check out the video we have in the article as well. It's just an awesome build. And it did arrive to Computex in one piece. We've seen some issues with people sending these over and they get kind of messed up. So
yeah, anytime you're going international.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Risk. So definitely check that out. And then we'll move on to our video this week. And I did a video review of the Corsair Crystal Series 680X RGB case. The video turned out really good. I actually like a lot of the shots I got in the video, but you know, we already reviewed this case. It's kind of Corsair's upgrade to the 280X, which is made for micro ATX. This supports all the way up to extended ATX, comes with 3 RGB fans as well as the Lighting Node Pro controller in there, so you can control the lighting with IQ. It is a really great case, and it's an amazing case to show off your build. Like, if you want just to show off what's inside your computer, this is definitely the case for it. But like any case or any product, really, there were some issues with it, which I discussed in the video. So check it out. We will have it linked in the show notes to the YouTube page for it, so you guys can check it out. But I had a lot of fun doing this one. I think cases and motherboards are like my favorite thing to do videos on. So definitely check that out. And we'll move right along to news. And while there was a lot of news last week from Computex, I think the biggest news this week was the Apple event, and kind of, well, my biggest thing out of, I guess I'll talk about my biggest thing out of it, yeah, is that they're Apple made $1,000 monitor stand. $1,000
for a monitor stand. They made Apple, you worded it slightly incorrectly. Apple made a monitor stand and they're charging $1,000 for it.
Yeah.
Because there's no way that it's possible to make a monitor stand that is worth $1,000.
Unless you put the computer in it.
I mean, then it would be a computer.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a monitor stand. So they had their WWDC 2019 event yesterday, and they did announce a new monitor, which is, it's a nice monitor that's also overpriced. But the biggest thing with the monitor's $4,999 by itself.
Base model.
Yeah, and that comes without a stand, and then the stand is, like I said,
and it comes without the matte coating too.
Yeah,
it's just the standard monitor.
Yeah, the stand is $1,000, and from everything I've gathered, this is a normal monitor stand that allows for you to adjust the monitor up and down, like actually move the whole display up and down. Mm-hmm. It allows for angle adjustment, and it allows you to rotate it into landscape mode. That's it.
Portrait mode.
And it has a hole in the back for cable routing, which isn't the best job. And it looks like it's made of a piece of metal. It's not gold, like real gold. No. It's not. No. Even if it's aluminum, that piece of aluminum is not worth $1,000, even remotely close. So I don't get it. I don't understand.
It's an Apple product. I mean, that's that kind of explains the whole thing. Like,
if you watch the Apple events, the guy going over the monitor, he talked about the base amounts, and the base amount had its own slide, and then they brought in the pro stand, and the pro stand was on the, they like it went from the base amount slide,
yeah,
to a stand that had the base amount and pro stand slide. So, and he even kind of skipped over his words. We have the video, in the post.
Gets through it as quickly as he can.
Yeah, as quickly as he can. Yeah.
Well, it's ridiculous that the base amount is another... It's $200 for the base amount, too.
Yeah, like, that's...
What kind of monitor doesn't come with a mounting system?
That's base? Why we have standard... That VESA is a standard. That's why we have the standard. And I... Yes, Apple is pretty crappy with standards. We all know our iPhones don't take like a USB-C or even like a normal micro USB like they should have, lightning cable. But that's like... on Amazon, they're far cheaper, but if you want the actual Apple route, you can. It's still $30 for a cable. It's not $1,000 or $200 for an amount for you to buy another, like another stand.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And it's just the mount. Like, you still need a stand with it.
Yeah,
the base mount. Like,
the most expensive monitor stand ever cannot be over $200.
No,
like. I've reviewed these monitor just, arms just not and, that and monitor stands. They're not that expensive. And they give you every ability that the $1,000 stand does. You can switch your monitor into portrait mode. You can move it up and down. You can angle it left and right. And these actually give you the ability to like move the monitor back and move the monitor closer to you. Where this, the stand, you have to move the whole stand with it. Like,
it's really not even a great stand.
It doesn't look that
great. Like, it's not. It simply doesn't have enough function to it.
Yeah.
Like, in general, if this just came with the monitor and you were like reviewing it, you'd be like, the stand it's functional, but it doesn't. I would still like X, X, and X. Like, you really would.
The big
would.
Thing that bothered me about the stand, regardless of how much it would ever cost, is that Apple is really big on like looks. They're really big on looks. And for cable, there's two cables coming out of the monitor. I assume one's power and one's data.
Which, you think they would have figured that out?
It goes through a hole in the back and then comes out the back. Like, you wouldn't think, like, remember, like, the Razer monitor had the channels built in? Like, if I'm paying this much for a stand, I want it to be, like, perfect. And so I don't see any cables ever. And this is,
That's what I'm saying. It's not a good stand.
Yeah, like, it's not a good stand.
And so, you would have thought they would have figured out the single cable system, too. Samsung was able to.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, okay, so back to the monitor itself, right? It's a $5,000 monitor that really quickly becomes a $6,000 monitor if you want to, like, you know, put it on anything other than just lean it against a wall.
Yeah.
And then for the anti-glare coating, it's another $1,000.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Add that up, and it's a decent. It is a good monitor. It's a 6K monitor, but it's not even OLED.
It's 6K. So, it's a 10-bit display. Which,
it's good color. It's going to be fantastic. Apple monitors are great. Like, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But it's not like the backlighting isn't the same, like pixel by pixel switching. Like, it can't you can't shut off individual pixels. It's clusters, like centimeter squared or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's not going to achieve OLED quality, which there is no 6K OLED monitor out there. But if you were to ask me what's a 6K OLED going to cost right now, I would say it's probably $5,000 at the high end. Like, that's what that should cost. And this is not even that.
Yeah. It's just
super disappointing.
It's just absurd, I guess.
Yeah. It's not disappointing because we have no, we're PC, so we have no expectations. But like, this is just pushing the envelope of selling your brand, I guess.
Yeah. I think that they're pricing everything to what they want people, what they want the Apple, the Mac Pro user to be. It's either these big studios or somebody who has a lot of money.
It's yeah, that's those are the only two people that it's going to probably fall into, because yeah. it's really hard to justify, even if you are, you know, a video producer or something. It's really hard to justify the cost of this, because there are other options out there.
Yeah. But along with the monitor and the monitor stand and the $200 VESA mount, they also announced a new Mac Pro.
Mac Pro cheese grater.
Yeah, which, who the hell designed this thing, honestly? Okay, it looks like a computer from 2003.
Yeah.
It really does, and this like pisses me off, because Apple used to be about design. Honestly, like the Power Mac G5, if you put this next to a Power Mac G5, the Power Mac G5 looks more more modern.
Yeah.
We've seen people do case mods where they put a PC inside the Power Mac G5 chassis because it was that awesome.
They look great still.
This thing, like you said, looks like a cheese grater. It is so ugly. Why does it have handles on it that look like they're from 2003? Like when everybody started doing that case mod, we're putting handles on the top of their machine. What the hell is this thing design-wise? Like I said, Apple used to be, for design, they broke a lot of boundaries years ago, I guess 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, maybe this is since like Steve Jobs left. Like, do you think he would let this computer come out? I don't know.
Probably not. I think they would have actually switched to a whole new direction. They've kind of been floundering in the same territory they've always been, and he probably would have had things going in a whole new direction.
I do now, like that they moved away from the trash can, because that thing was...
Trash can was bad.
It looked cool, but it was horribly designed thermally. Yeah. And this is more in the form factor of a traditional PC tower, which I like, and that helps them with internal components. And the only thing I do have to say about this is, we'll get into the hardware in a second, but this is all air-cooled. There's no liquid cooling in this, which is pretty impressive given the specs. And from all the tweets and everything that I saw about it, the one they had like running 8K footage, which is like the highest spec one, that you couldn't hear, like, you know, fans humming or anything like that. So that's impressive on their part. But just the overall look of this, I would not want this on my desk. Maybe if I would, like I said, if it was 2003, this would look awesome on my desk. But it's just, the design is so bad on this, and it's such a disappointment just in that. But then we get into cost. So the base model is $6,000. That includes
which you think, like, okay, it's going to be super powerful though, right? At $6,000.
No, it's not.
It's really not.
It includes an 8-core Intel Xeon processor, 32 gigabytes of DDR4 ECC memory, a Radeon Pro 580X, which is based on the old architecture, and a 256 gigabytes PCI Express solid state drive.
Surely you meant to say like 8 256 gigabyte PCI Express drives, right?
Yeah, or something. I don't know how that... And again, this Xeon processor, especially since it's 8-core, you can... I mean, we can get desktop 8-cores, but even if you go in the high-end desktop, you can get 10, 12, 16-core processors in 32 gigabytes of memory, in ECC memory, which is more expensive, and a card better than a Radeon Pro 580X, more... NVMe drives for far less than this. You know what I mean?
Like substantially
less.
If
you did, like I said, if you went Intel high-end desktop or AMD Threadripper, you could do this for far less and get far more out of it. You know, so
I'm surprised at the low-end specs with how low they are, actually.
Yeah, 8 cores.
It's not a PC that you want. Like, it really is not.
No, not at all.
It's not at that price, I guess. Like, if you're going to throw out $6,000 just for the tower, right, you better have, like, close to the fastest stuff you can get. And an 8-core Xeon is not going to do that for you.
And
not
the Radeon,
close.
The Radeon Pro 580X. No. The Radeon Pro 580X is, like, as good as a... I don't even know what's... It's not good. Like, every new
10,
RTX
older 10
card...
series?
Yeah, every new... like RTX card beats it, you know, so that's the low end. The high end, the most spec'd out system, the ones that they were demoing, We don't have prices, but a lot of people are guessing between $35,000 and $45,000, you can get a 28-core Intel Xeon, 1.5 terabytes of DDR4 memory, which makes absolutely no sense.
but the rendering.
Yeah. An AMD Radeon Pro Vega 2 Duo, which we'll talk about. This weird Afterburner ProRes and ProRes RAW accelerator card that has to do with obviously photo and video editing.
That's four, it gets it up to 8K.
Yeah, 4 terabytes PCI Express SSD. You know, and if you think about that, if you think about just based on the processor, so you can get an Intel W3175X for around $3,000. You can get a board that supports it. The Dominus is 1800. The EVGA board, which you saw at Computex last week, is 2000. You can get 2 NVIDIA Titan RTXs, which would be $5,000. Yeah. You can get 192 gigabytes of Corsair DDR4 memory for $1,100. You're still not even close to $35,000.
But is 192 gigabytes of RAM enough?
Yes. Like, I have 32 gigabytes and I do 4K video editing and everything, and I don't even use close to all of it.
But you need to be doing 8K rendering.
Yeah, it's just
8K editing.
1.5. And the thing is that the AMD graphics cards are not but they're not optimized like NVIDIA cards are for rendering. No,
it's not the right choice.
Yeah,
I forget what rift they had, but Apple just doesn't do business with NVIDIA anymore.
Yeah,
so even though that would be the better choice, they just don't do it. I mean, that's a powerful system, no doubt. You know, custom motherboard in order to handle that much RAM. Why they thought that was something that would be necessary? I don't know.
I think obviously the highest spec system is to do 8K real time, whatever, and just handle
hold it all in RAM.
There are crazy high end machines that are built like. That you would see in like a studio editing room, right?
Yeah.
And that's what this high-end, I would think the high-end configuration is made for. But
Yeah, 100%. But it's not, it's just, you're paying so much more to do it. Like, as a business, why would you want to? Other than the fact that like Apple sort of has a lot of these people stuck using their ecosystem, like they're not Windows users.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
like, agree. In order to get this type of power, they've actually been waiting, like 6 years or something like that for a new Mac Pro?
Yeah.
Like, it's been a really, really long time. So, like, this is going to sell to a lot of people.
And a lot of, like, the studios, even, like, recording studios that I've been in, it's all run on Mac Pros. It really is. Which is kind
of
sad.
Most of it can be done on that.
You know, so yeah, it's all overpriced for the average consumer. For the average Apple fanboy, you don't need remotely close to any of the specs to do what you want. The RGB build that we did in late 2017 was $4,400, and that's the same system I'm using today. It is awesome. For $5,000, you can build an amazing computer that will do everything that you want it to do and more, and probably better than this machine. And obviously, it's going to look better, too.
Honestly, far, far better, probably. Yeah. And I mean, in general, you can, even if you do have to do Apple, you can get an iMac Pro Retina 5K with the screen, 27-inch screen for $5,000.
Yeah.
So if that... And that is enough power for most people.
Yeah.
So
I just think this is just,
all talking about it. So I guess that's a win for them.
Yeah. Yeah. We're definitely talking about it. But the only really good thing to come out of this announcement is the official announcement of the Radeon Pro Vega 2 and Pro Vega 2 Duo graphics cards. These are based on 7-nanometer Vega 20 MCMs. And they completely max out the silicon, which is like something we haven't heard from AMD in a long time, maxing out the silicon. But the Pro Duo is, the Pro Vega 2 Duo is a dual graphics card a dual GPU graphics card, something we haven't seen in a while. I'm super excited. Like, I love, I don't know, like, just looking at the PCB with the two there, and they're connected with Infinity Fabric too,
which is fantastic technology.
Yeah, so it's so cool. But from everything that we know, the Pro Vega 2 Duo is only going to be made for the Mac Pro, and the Pro Vega 2 as it sits right now is only available in the Mac Pro. That might be coming as a release later, but right now you can only get these cards in the Mac Pro. Which
is pretty sad.
Yeah, pretty sad. So these have 32 gigabytes of HBM2 on each PCB. That's, you know, Mr. HBM2 over here.
Pretty I mean, that's significant.
Yeah.
This is all, it's all very, very workstation.
Oh yeah.
Like specs. Like, these are very impressive workstation cards.
Yes, I agree. And it's just kind of sad that you're not going to see a
PC version.
Yeah, you're not going to see them. At least not for a while.
I think these are actually, I might be mistaken, but I believe you can actually run two of these together as well.
Really?
Yeah, because I believe you can spec the top system out with two of these.
Two of Duo cards?
Yeah, which is...
Are you sure?
That's a pretty,
I mean, I didn't look at it, but you could be right.
There is no system builder right now.
This
is all just speculation. But you can definitely spec the system out with two GPUs, and I don't think you're limited to a single one of these, nice. Which would be actually pretty cool.
I'm really interested to see, and at the same time, I am interested to see what that hardware accelerator card thingy is that they talk about, because they didn't really talk about what it does or what it is.
Pretty sure you can buy them.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about, but in any case, Apple, we're not buying your $1,000 monitor, and most of us are not buying your Mac Pro either. So
yeah, we're definitely not. I'm gonna keep my 12 grand to myself and build multiple PCs for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Which we know you guys are really cool. Your stuff is really cool, and you would never settle for an ugly PC. So you go live in Macland, and we'll keep doing more stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But talking about something from that we will be spending money on, at least a lot of us, is the Ryzen 3000 series. Now, something that AMD didn't talk about during their Computex keynote was that we weren't sure if they were going to use solder on the integrated heatsink. They use it for the past two generations, but you never know, you know. But they did confirm on Twitter that it will be soldered, and they said soldered like a boss. So having solder over thermal paste just improves thermals pretty much, and it's going to be available through the entire Ryzen 3000 series, so that's something good to know. And it's just good overall, especially, and we're getting down to 7 nanometer too, so these shouldn't run incredibly hot, I wouldn't think, especially compared to Intel chips. So that's definitely something to look forward to. Also, something to look forward to, which we might never see, is that at Computex, Intel teased a future graphics card concepts. Basically, their graphic designer, what's his name? Cristiano, I can't even say his last name. He put out some graphics card concepts that Intel, you know, they're looking towards the future too. They look really cool and everything, and they look pretty exciting. But one, this is like smoke and mirrors show, I feel, from Intel. Like
trying to build hype when they don't actually have anything.
Yeah, we're not going to see a card till CES at least.
Yeah,
and if that card from, it might be entry level, you know. And a lot of people were talking like, this is Raja, you know, this is Raja from AMD. It was all smoke and mirrors, you know. So
they definitely hyped up everything really well.
Yeah,
every video card release, he hyped to the high heavens and never followed through with anything that ever performed.
Yeah, so this is something that, you know, I think Intel really has to prove something. I love what they're doing with the software and they're making, like, that's important, you know. But we need to get down to the hardware and we need to see what it does. And seeing these look great, but any graphic designer can make a GPU, you know, what a graphics card's going to look like.
Yeah, they basically look no different than any NVIDIA or AMD card, other than it says Intel right at the bottom of the connector.
So I don't know. I just think, like I said, up until we see real hardware and real benchmarks and things like that, it's all smoke and mirrors. But something that Intel was showing at Computex, which I thought was kind of cool. It's cool if you have a use case for it. They were showing off their dual screen Honeycomb Glacier gaming laptop concept. That's what the code name is for. It's called Honeycomb Glacier. And basically it's a normal laptop with a smaller screen below. And the smaller screen is made to show like pertinent information if you're gaming. It will allow you to say, you know, if you're editing a photo, and this is all touchscreen, you know, and you can have a stylus and be editing a photo like close up. Down below, and then up top you can see like the zoomed out image or something like that. There's a, you know, you can have all your streaming stuff. If you're streaming, I don't know why you use a laptop to stream, but if you were streaming, you could see all of like your stream chat and everything there. And on the top screen, you could see all of your, you know, you could see your game. Intel is not creating this product. This isn't going to be a product that Intel comes out with. They're basically they showed it to show like innovation, and they're hoping a lot of their OEM partners will kind of run with the idea. And we actually saw one at Computex, which was Asus's ZenBook Pro Duo, and this is the a dual screen laptop. It looks awesome. It's something that I would love to have, but I wouldn't make full use of it. I really don't think I would.
I could use this.
Yeah, this would be great for photo editing. So it is a 17 inch there's a 17 and there's a 15.4 inch.
Okay.
But you have 4K OLED touchscreen capable display, which is capable of displaying 100% of the DCI P3 color gamut. Which
better
is...
get the 17 inch then. 4K doesn't look so great on the 15. A little scrunched in there.
And then the second screen is 3840 by 1100, so it's basically like I guess you would call it a 2K screen because it's half.
It's like 4K cut in half.
It's like 4K cut in half, and that's also a touchscreen. It's an IPS display that has 178 degree angle. One thing I did this is a real product. The Intel concept showed that you could kind of pull that second screen up.
It kind of stood up like a stand.
Yeah, this one does not.
In fact, it has the terrible ZenBook hinge where the back of the lid is actually like the base that it like hinges up on to raise the keyboard up. Yeah, it's a terrible design, actually, in my opinion.
But I think that this second screen idea is something really great, especially if you have a lot going on. You know, I have an ultra wide here at home. A lot of people rock two screens because we have so much going on. And having two screens on a laptop is really great, especially keeping the same typical form factor we're used to with a laptop. You know, so I think it's really good. One thing that's noticeable about this is that there is no touchpad, but Asus believes with this type of product that they're not going to... will have their own mouse. I mean...
What's the pad on the side then?
That is a touchpad, but it's not in the typical center where you would want it. It's on the far right. And it can also double as a number pad as well. You can kind of...
Yeah. So for me, as a right-handed person, that is like that works. That's even better than the traditional centered touchpad, I would say. But, you know.
But yeah, this is really great. You can actually get it all the way up to a Core i9 in this with a GTX 2060, 32 gigabytes of RAM and 1 terabyte solid state. Again, I would love this, but I would never use it to its full potential, if that makes sense.
I'm kind of, if I were more mobile, there's times where I'm definitely mobile and I use my laptop a lot. But it's still, I imagine this is expensive. Do we have a price?
There's no price.
It's probably like $3,000 to $4,000 for the highest spec.
Yeah.
I would say it's, for me, it's hard to justify, but if you're a creator and you're often on the go, like this could really be something that is helpful for you.
I mean, this is going to handle everything that you're going to throw at it for the most part. Obviously it's not going to replace a desktop PC, but if you're mobile most of the time, or you just like a laptop's your thing. There's a lot of people that a laptop is their thing.
Yeah, it's true.
Having the two screens and having the ability that both screens are touchscreen, you can do edits, you can do things like that. And that saves you from buying like one of those Wacom, or is that how you say the company? Wacom
pads? Yeah, Wacom, whatever. I believe.
A little
bit. That's a kind of a different thing, but yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Wacom tablet.
I really like this. I would love to have this as like my mobile workstation, but I would never spend the money on it. You know, it's just... It's just not.
You have to have a specific use, I think. Yeah. Well, but on the other hand, I mean, just having like the three in the one photo they have of it, they have three different like windows in the mini display right above the keyboard, and so he's got a chat and then a video maybe, and then a photo that he's usually using as reference, and then he's editing a photo on the top. Even if you're like writing an article up top, you can have a couple of things down below that you're referencing from, a couple of windows, and like that would really speed up your productivity.
Yeah, I think it would. I think we're going to see this become a thing, because if you think about it, especially when it comes to like 15.6 and 17-inch laptops, there's a lot of there's a lot of unused space where the keyboard goes.
It's true.
You know, so I hope this becomes a thing, more of a thing. I assume we'll see more companies come out with stuff like this, because it is very useful, and as you said, it would definitely speed up productivity on a lot of stuff. So I like it.
I think one of the bigger things that's going to come down to whether it's actually a useful product is really the software implementation of like how it handles displaying stuff and how useful it actually makes itself. So I think that'll whether you really want this will come down to what you read in your review and how useful it is.
Yeah.
So look out for that.
Yeah, so moving on to cases at Computex. We didn't talk about cases a whole lot last week. So one of the more interesting cases is Inwin's new 309. This is an update to the 307, which came out last year. It features a 144-pixel LED display at the front. These have been updated to addressable RGBs, so now you can use they've updated the software as well, so you can do a lot of stuff with it. Also, they've taken the 307 had like a big diffuser on the front, and this kind of gets rid of that, and you just see the LED display. And this comes with three of their new RGB fans. I think it looks cool, but again, with Inwin, this case, there's no airflow.
Yeah, I was going to say this is going to have terrible airflow.
Yeah. They have designed this case a little bit differently, so air is taken out of the case non-traditionally. But I still don't think it's only going to come with those three fans, which are mounted at the top, kind of. So you're still going to have to add fans to make this. But, I mean, just having nothing at the front and nothing at the top.
Nothing on the side window either. It's tempered glass.
Yeah, so it's just going to be a heat magnet, but I do think it's cool. I think that, you know, to make your own graphics and stuff like that on the front is cool on a case, but I don't know.
You know, one thing I'd like to see from Inwin too is they've got their side panel that's like the single pull, you know, it's got the little indent at the top with the, you know, a handle to pull it off, and it's really simple and it works really well. It really does. But the part that juts out is starting to wear on me, where I wish they would redesign it in some way that didn't exist.
Yeah.
Because it's been a couple of years with that. I'd like to see a redesign on that soon.
Yeah, I love that hinge, just for the fact that because that the part that comes out is plastic, and it's not, you can pick the panel up and set it down without touching the panel and getting fingerprints on it. I mean, you know, so you don't have to clean your panel every time you remove it, or, you know.
Yeah, but I want to see something else other than just like the handles jutting out from the side of it.
Yeah, I agree. Just it just it was a good design. It just needs, we need,
It's been time. Tweak it.
Yeah. So there was that case. And then there was FSP, who we saw cases from at CES, and we reviewed one. It's actually, they're making some pretty decent cases for the price. They actually have had a pretty radical case at Computex. It's their CM710, which I hopefully they call it something else, because that's just weird. It's an open air chassis, much like the original Cougar Conqueror. I actually think this looks really good. It's made of aircraft grade aluminum and tempered glass. You can fit, you know, full size ATX on one side, cooling on the front on both sides. I believe on the front you can fit, let me see,
it's like a 360.
Yeah, you can fit 360s on each of the on each compartment on the on the front.
It's kind of like that Cougar case, but it's instead of a back panel, it's mirrored sides.
Yeah, it's mirrored sides. I actually like the back sides. Like, you have the, like, little SSD trays and hard drive trays there. Power supply mounts on the bottom. I actually really like this. And knowing FSP, it's not going to be as expensive. Rumors are it's going to be $500. Which I believe, I don't know much the, yeah, but this,
I mean, it's not $1,000 like Inwin went in for on their similar cases, so.
Yeah, so we'll see. But I like that FSP is taking like the PC. I mean, their like normal cases were pretty good for what they were, and to see something like this from FSP is pretty cool.
Yeah, take a stronger step into this market, and of course they've got the water cooled power supplies. So
yeah. So
they got some things going on there for a company that you really didn't hear from until like this year, basically.
Yeah. So hopefully we're gonna try to get one of these into review. So. Whenever they come out, we don't know when they'll be out, but whenever they come out, we'll hopefully get one into review. And one of the more interesting things of the show, and a company that we haven't really heard of, or not heard of, but heard from in a while.
Well, I think there's a good reason for
that. There's good reason. They had all these crazy legal troubles, but Zalman. And apparently, look, from everything that I saw, Zalman is back. They've redesigned their website, you know.
Scrapped their old product lines.
They have new products, and we'll talk about cases first. They showed off an open air design chassis called the Z Machine 500. This is big. It's a big case. It's made to support large builds. Tempered glass on. It's kind of one of those angled cases too. It angles up rather than down.
Yeah.
It has tempered glass on both sides as well as the front. And the front tempered glass is like a bent piece that covers part of the top as well. Mm-hmm. This thing, we don't know a lot about it because not a lot of people covered it for some reason. It will come with 5 pre-installed RGB fans, so at least 3 in the front, and I don't know where the other 2 will be mounted. But we have 3 RGB fans in the front, probably 1 at the rear, and maybe 1 at the bottom, because the way the motherboard's set up, the I/O is actually at the top, so I'm not sure.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, it's hard to say with these pictures.
You can only say with any definitive answer is there's 3 in the front.
Yeah. I think this is a really great looking case, I think. I don't know what your thoughts are on it.
It's really hard to see from these photos.
Yeah.
they're really dark photos.
Yeah.
It seems okay from what you can see.
Yeah, but, it looks pretty good. Like I said, and as you said, from what you can see, obviously. Yeah. But they also had a Z Machine 300. Which is made for mini ITX, and this is really focused on water cooled mini ITX builds. It's actually going to come with a pump and reservoir included in it. It's basically a typical tower that's made of all aluminum for one, and two, on each side you have tempered glass panels, and then the pump res is built into the bottom, it looks like.
Yeah, it looks like.
And it comes
like just below the motherboard.
Yeah, it supports FX, SFX, and SFXL power supplies. I think this is a cool looking case, and I love that Zalman is using good materials. This isn't a steel case. This is all aluminum. Mm-hmm. And I like it that they're focusing on enthusiast stuff. And that's what we know Zalman for originally, is enthusiast stuff. So to see these two cases is pretty exciting, I think. They both look great from the photos that you can see. They're not the best. But these look, it looks awesome. These two cases. And then they also showed off a new flagship CPU cooler. And that's what really knows Zalman for, was their CPU coolers. They showed off their CNPS 20X. This is a new cooler that's going to cost $100. So putting it right up there with Noctua. Yeah. And the interesting thing about this is a dual tower cooler that has two fans. But the two heatsink towers, the center of them, a good section of the fins are actually copper. If you can see that.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. I mean, obviously, copper is better performance than aluminum, which the rest of the heatsink is made out of.
Just expensive.
And it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 very large heat pipes. Two of the new Spider RGB fans are attached to it as well. It looks great. They have a smaller one. I think it's a 17X CNPS 17X, which is a single tower. Same design, except for it's just single tower and single fan. I like these products from Zalman. Like, I'm actually truly excited about this. I don't know how you feel about it, but
it looks good. I'm reserving my excitement for actually seeing anything.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I've been a Zalman fan for so long, and obviously what happened to them was not good. To see them come back and to see a product like, we really don't see CryoRig had the copper cooler that we reviewed, but we don't see a whole lot of copper anymore. It's more expensive and everything like that. But
we don't even see the heat pipes anymore.
Yeah. So to see real they didn't nickel plate them or anything like that. To see the real copper on this got me real excited, because that's old school Zalman right there. This is gonna be $100 from what we've heard. No word when it's coming out, but we'll let you know. I'm excited for Zalman. If they had a really good showing at Computex from what I saw. They have a lot of other stuff. They have AIOs, other cases, all kinds of stuff. So we'll try to get in contact with them and get some of the stuff into review, because I'd love to test this cooler out for sure.
Yeah, it's really something to look forward to, because they took such a downturn towards the end. The products were really like becoming quite iffy. So
yeah, and they were just really like making stuff they shouldn't have been making. They were making gaming mice and just stuff again they shouldn't have been making.
In cases that were just questionable features.
It was bad towards the end there. So Noctua, not to be stood up by Zalman, they did show a fanless CPU cooler that was able to handle the Core i9 9900K. This thing is a beast. The fins on this are huge. Thick, real thick, big cooler. It's just being known right now as the premium fanless CPU cooler. I honestly don't know why you would use this. I just think this is something they were just showing.
In an environment that you don't want any noise, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, but even like their big coolers, they're not that loud. But this was running on the 9900K and it idled, or I don't know if it idled or loaded, so I don't know, because nobody put that in their articles. But it was running at 95 degrees, which is below the thermal limit of the chip. So that's
95
really
Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Celsius, sorry.
Well, that's barely doing it then.
That's 10 degrees below the thermal limit, which is
you don't want to run it at 95 though.
I mean, if you're
there's a thermal limit and there's where you want to every day your chip.
Yeah, right? That's true. But yeah, the I mean 9900K is a hot chip. I mean, we had ours at 5.1 and it was in the 90s running that 20, running that.
Yeah, at 5.1, so it's
And that was on an AIO. So yeah, I mean it's a hot chip. I think this is just to show that this is it's possible. I don't see any other reason to have this. I mean, what kind of cooler? Like, it's like It's a 9900K. You can cool it with an AIO, which is not that loud. You could cool it with a decent air cooler, which again is not that loud, especially if it's enclosed in a case. So I don't really see like where is somebody worried about power issues that a single 140 millimeter fan is going to make their power go crazy. Like I don't understand.
It's that absolute no moving parts. You know what would be great for this is you put this in a mineral bath tank.
Yeah.
Like a fish tank build, and then that'd be great, actually. That's a lot of surface area to cool down with that.
Yeah, oil. That's really cool, actually. But check out the pictures of the cooler in the article. It actually does look really cool, in my opinion. Just like this thick ass.
It's fins. Industrial, man.
Yeah, like, it looks really industrial.
It's hard not to be impressed.
And then Clev did show off some pretty cool RGB stuff. This is one of the better looking RGB M.2s that I've seen. It's their Crass C700 RGB. And then they showed their Crass X RGB memory. Both have like the same type of style diffusers on them that look really good, in my opinion. I don't know what you think about them.
Yeah, it's kind of a hybrid between some of the different styles that we've seen where it has the angles that we saw on the why am I blanking, the royal memory, and then it's also got like the smoked look to it that we've seen.
Yeah, it's more diffused, and it's kind of like it's kind of like a crystal look like you saw on the royal, but it's not as, it's like a big crystal, if that makes sense. I don't know how else you would explain.
Yeah, not as sharp of angles, like longer lines, and
but
those lines we saw it with the royal, you know, it catches the light differently, and it's just way more interesting than just a straight diffuser. So
yeah, so the C700 RGB, it's a PCI Express 3.0 x4 drive. It's not that fast either. Sequential speeds of 1500 and 1300 megabytes. It's only available up to 480 gigabytes. So they basically came out with this diffuser and put it on an old drive for the most part. The Crass 700 RGB or the Crass XRGB memory. This is available from 16 gigabyte kits and 32 gigabyte kits all the way up to 4266. I think this looks really good. I actually like the heat spreader too. It's just like,
yeah, that looks great.
Yeah. And the diffuser at the top, same type of design. What I think is really great about these two products though is that these match up really well in a system where if you had the same memory and the same M.2s, and say you had a system with three of these M.2s running, running the same RGB effect, having the same design. We haven't seen a lot of RGB. I don't know if there's any. There could be, but a company that's making RGB memory that's also making RGB M.2. Adata has it, but they don't look the same. These look the same.
Yeah, this is like in the same line.
Yeah, so this is like, this brings it all together, right? This brings the aesthetic all together in your build, which I really like.
Yeah, I agree. I think they might be better off just selling that M.2 cooler. Like, let me put that on my drive of choice rather than your old garbage.
Yeah. So I assume you know, with PCI Express Gen 4, they will have a new drive that will have this, because it looks, it's one of the better M.2s I've seen. And like I said, having that in the top location like they do in these pictures with the memory that looks the same, running the same effect, blah, 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 it would look really cool, I think.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And like you said, we haven't really seen it with the M.2s much. And like that, those spaces where you have your graphics cards and these are like hidden down in between, like are begging to get lit up, I would say.
Yeah.
Like those are the dark spaces in the case that you just don't get lighting in. So I think that's definitely a promising product.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then finally, one last thing at Computex is that Fantex is going to make Evolve speakers. So if you're familiar with the design of the Fantex Enthu Evolve cases, which is, I think, one of the best designs of a case in the past 10 years, it's just such a great
good
design.
Lines.
It's just great lines. Just that subtle lighting in the newer ones. Every one I reviewed,
and of course
I loved.
They're highly functional, so
yeah,
it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, but they just look amazing. So Fantex is going to be making a set of desktop speakers called, at least right now, being called the Evolve speakers. They said this is a lot of people, you know, you think about it. If you had any Enthu Evolve case sitting on your desk, and then you had these speakers that are like miniature versions of the case, that would look amazing.
I wanted to dismiss this immediately as being dumb, but yeah, if you've got it all on your desk, like, it is going to look great together.
And I think the design in general is just really good. I mean, these speakers for speakers kind of, it looks kind of cool.
It kind of, I think as a speaker, it just looks like most bookshelf speakers, but
yeah, I do like
it's a little bit better, but it's
Yeah, I guess it's just I'm a fan of that those lines, I guess.
Me too. It's just
yeah, but no word on like what type of speaker.
What are the speakers? What do they sound like?
They're USB. That's the biggest thing. They're going to be USB, so they're not going to be like crazy. So
they're probably not great.
But you wouldn't expect them to come out with something crazy that not a lot of people are going to buy. But I think it's cool. I think it's just another way for Fantex to you know, kind of complete, like, we've seen NZXT with like an ecosystem of products, Corsair with an ecosystem of products. Fantex is getting into that ecosystem of products where you have more products by the same company.
Well, they've slowly been doing that. They have, like, they just launched like their water cooling line. That was a couple of years ago, but like it was just suddenly, oh, we do water cooling now. They threw in the power supplies, all of the power supply accessories. They've really have been like branching off. So like it's not too much of a surprise. It's just like, is it going to really be a decent product? Sound and speakers is... companies are based around that, you know?
Yeah, like, I don't think these are going to sound great. And the thing is, too, is like, for me, I'm headphones 85% of the time. I'm on my computer. I feel a lot of people are, especially this market. Like, Fantex, people who know Fantex have built their own PCs probably for gaming. And you're wearing your headset most of the time. Yeah. But if you want a pair of speakers that maybe, what, $50 to $100 that sound okay.
50 or less.
Yeah. That sound okay and look like my tower, yeah, I'll buy them, right?
Yeah. It will look really good with your tower on the same desk.
Yeah. So that's something to look forward to. No word on when they're going to be available or pricing or any specs or anything like that. But pretty cool stuff. And that brings us to what we have coming up next week. I will be reviewing the Sith Muggin 5 Tough Gaming Alliance CPU cooler. I almost got it done this week, but just didn't get it finished because we had a little shorter in between time compared to last week's podcast. But I will have that. That's a single tower cooler. It's part of the Tough Gaming Alliance, so it kind of has all those yellow and black design from Asus. So I'll have that, and then I'll also be taking a look at a Z390 motherboard, the ASRock Z390 Steel Legend, which is part of the new Steel Legend series from ASRock. We reviewed their B450 Steel Legend, which was a completely solid motherboard. This is the same thing. It has the same digital camo, the white kind of wintry digital camo. This looks great. I can't wait to tell you guys more about it, but it's a good-looking board. Of course, RGB lighting and everything like that, too. And that brings us to the end here. And we talk about if we've done anything or, you know, saw any movies or did anything tech-related, anything
that you've got done? Yours down there, so you can go first.
Oh, okay. So mine's not really tech or movies or nerd related, but it's just like overall health. So lately I've been getting really tired. I haven't been feeling well, just like every day. And I was like, oh, this is old age, you know, I'm getting older, I'm 34.
I'm old man.
But you know, about 2 years ago I was taking this I guess you would call it like a vitamin every day, and I just stopped taking it for whatever reason, probably because it's pretty expensive. But it's called Vita Mineral Greens, and we'll have it linked in the show notes. And it's like this superfood. It has all this great stuff in it. But I've been taking it for a week and a half now, and I feel so much better than I have in a long time. I'm sleeping better. Like, I just feel better overall. I don't feel tired as much. Like, it's like the whole... this is the only thing I've changed in my entire, like, diet or anything like that.
When you read the label, does it have anything that ends in amphetamine?
No, but this has been around I actually was reading Amazon reviews because I actually bought the powder this time, not the pills and the powder. I just want to see if there's any difference. But the guy who created it, like this is old. It's not something new either. This has been the guy created it like 27 years ago. So it's not anything that's that new. But I guess he was fighting some type of disease and he made this superfood
mix up for himself.
Yeah, it has a ton of greens. Like if you don't eat a lot of green stuff, this has everything that you'll need in it. And before when I was taking it, I never got sick. I like never got a cold, nothing. So I'll update you guys maybe in a few weeks if I got sick or how it's feeling, but I would highly recommend it. I have the link in the show notes if you want to check it out if you're feeling tired or something like that. And hopefully I'm going to be trying, you know, with this because I'm feeling better and try to get off the caffeine, which would be a plus. So that's my thing. What did you, looks like you saw Godzilla.
Yeah, I went and saw Godzilla. I just wanted to go see a movie. So we went and saw a movie. Saw it in IMAX. Sat too close. Hated it.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. It was a pretty fun movie though. It doesn't have a great Rotten Tomatoes score, but it has a good audience score, and that's exactly what it was. It was fun to watch, but yeah, kind of a terrible plot-ish, but still cool. If you like Godzilla, I mean...
Yeah, I saw the previews. I actually was thinking about going to see it. It's one of those like previews that like got me in and was like, oh, I might actually want to go see this.
Yeah, so I mean, it is one of those big, big movies where you... I've always seen the Godzilla movies in theaters just because like it's a good experience. I think I could have watched it at my home theater, though. I don't know. Whenever you sit too close in an IMAX, that's just... Yeah, I almost just should have just gone home. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're craning your neck and, like,
having a bad seat at a movie is a horrible experience. Unless you're, like, not there to really watch a movie. You know? I've had bad seats where I'm like, my friend's like, oh, I got tickets. And I'm like, well, did you reserve your seat? And he's like, no. And like, we get there like 10 minutes into the previews and there's no good seats. It's just not a good experience.
No.
But yeah, I mean, I think I might actually go see it this week. I don't know.
Yeah, it's good. If you like Godzilla, it's plenty of Godzilla screams and all that good stuff. And there is an after the credits clip, so... If you're into that, you can stay for it. You won't be wasting your time.
Little Easter egg. Cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to stay now if I go. So.
Yeah. There you go.
So, yeah, guys, that wraps everything up for this week. Sorry about last week. A lot of people said it was really long, but we had a lot of Computex stuff to talk about. So we're going to end things here. As I always say, we have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about. So, you know, if we're talking about a product or one of our reviews, you can click through and get even more information. And of course, if you want to subscribe, it's right there on the page. But if you're looking for us on iTunes or Spotify or anything, it's just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, catch you guys later.